Let's close our eyes and ask God to bless us tonight, because we're here to hear His voice tonight. Let's close our eyes. Oh, Father, come to each one of us and speak to us. And Lord, please help us to hear Thy voice and to obey Thy voice. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, our theme, well, who can tell me what the theme is for this week? Yes, Grace? Taken up by the potter. So it's clay taken up by the potter. So our talks this week deal with the exciting invitation of the potter, which is extended to every single one of us. No one is excluded. The potter wishes to take us in hand, to cleanse us, and to make us, each one of us, into somebody beautiful. We call it a vessel meet for the master's use, a vessel that he can use. Come, said the voice of the potter, weak and defiled though you be, I can redeem you, remake you, rid you from dross and debris. Come, said the voice of the potter, I have a purpose for you. Fair is the shape of the vessel I've envisaged for you. Every one of us is included in the invitation. No one is excluded. He calls all of us to yield ourselves up to him, right into his hands. But who is this potter? Who is he that calls us to him? Has he the power to cleanse me, to cleanse you? Has he the inclination to remake me? Has he got patience with me, you cry? You may say, I'm such a mess. I don't think I can become beautiful. Others can, but not me. Others look at me and they say, what a mess. You know, when I was Nolan and was small, there was a book about a dog called What a Mess. And he just got into trouble continually, and he landed in trouble and mud and everything, and his name turned out to be What a Mess. But sometimes that's exactly how we feel, a mess. We don't think we'll ever amount to anything. We're a dunce. We put our foot into everything. We're not included in invitation. You say, I'm just tolerated. I'm just tolerated. People don't really like me. They tolerate me. I'm misunderstood. I'm the odd one out. I'm ugly. Is there hope for me? Can it be God has searched me out, singled me out with care, wanting to take me in his hands to cleanse, transform me there? Lord, can it be that worthless me is precious, sought, and bought? That thy own will can be fulfilled through my own being wrought? Can it be true? Jeremiah 29 verse 11, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now in the cupboard in my dining room at home, there is a doll. It's a glass cupboard, and there's a doll in that cupboard. I don't know if I can call it a doll. It's really a cloth object. And believe it or not, it was a rabbit that my mother had. But I haven't seen any rabbit like it. It's the only one that looks like that. It almost looks like a little boy doll, but with long, thin ears. And my mom called the rabbit Brownie. She loved this rabbit when she was little and a baby. She loved it so much that the face is gone from kissing. There is no nose and mouth on the rabbit anymore. There's no eyes. The ears often has been plastered on and it's lying loose next to the rabbit. The cloth skin is missing. The sawdust is peeping through. That rabbit will never win a beauty competition. It'll be overlooked. It'll be despised amongst the newer and the shinier toys. However, when my mom sees that rabbit, she cries with delight. She picks it up. She doesn't see any flaws in it. To her, that rabbit is perfect and precious and dear. Her love covers every deficiency in the rabbit. And even though if Brownie might have been alive, the rabbit, he would have felt very inferior. In her eyes, it could never be. The yearning love of years will ever reach out to that precious toy to claim him with love despite the blemishes. Now the Savior, the potter, the heavenly potter, looks at you. And with a cry of delight, his arms are stretched out to you. He wants to take you up. And you know what? His very love has allowed some of the trials and hardships and heartaches in your life, which have caused blemishes and disfigurements upon you. Things you didn't understand. And you know, all the time the potter was just trying to draw you through these things closer to him. He loves you despite them. He looks past the blemishes in your life. And he's ready not only to take you into his arms as my mother would brownie, but he wants to remake you to that which you were intended to be in the first place. Now perhaps you say, I'm too dirty for cleansing. I'm one of the girls here with immoral things in the past. Nothing can cleanse me. And the things in the past are so vividly with me that even at the camp I can see the things that have happened in my life and the things that I've done. It's as if it's yesterday. It's real. It's with me. I secretly think I'm the lump of clay that will never be picked up. I'm too stained. I'm too tainted for even the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse me. My past is too dirty. I'm clay that is taken out of a mountain of impurities. But God's word assures us the heavenly potter can take the dirtiest lump of clay and transform it. We're not going to look at the clay today and say, what a dirty lump of clay. We're going to look at the potter today and we're going to say, what a mighty potter. Our eyes on him and not ourselves. And he can do anything. Nothing is impossible for him. No one is beyond his reach. He is able to save to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. Now unto him that is able to do abundantly above what we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 3:20. The power, what is the power that works in us? It's the power of the potter to change us. He is all powerful. He is not daunted with the state of the clay. All he wants is for us to lie in his hands so that he may cleanse us and mold us into a vessel that he can use in the place he wants you to be and has wanted you to be before the foundation of the world. No one is too dirty. No one is too hopeless. Into his hands I hear the call. Will I heed him and come? Somehow I feel afraid to trust him after all I've done. Come, says his gentle voice again, just like a lump of clay. I wish to cleanse and make you whole, if you but yield today. Let us answer some of those questions, or rather look at the potter more closely. Who is this? Who is this that calls me to place myself at his disposal, into his hand? Who is he? Now, first of all, he's the creator of the universe. He's an all-powerful God. Psalm 106 verse 2 says, who can utter the mighty acts of God? Who can show forth all his praise? Isaiah 40 verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Amos 4:13 is one of my favorite verses. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. It's a mighty potter, an almighty potter that wants to recreate us, totally new. And we can rely on the fact that he is able to do for you, each one of you, what is needed. He is equipped to make us over anew into a vessel that will glorify him. Now, we had a problem with the drains in our house and in our little kitchen area. Our kitchen area is a very narrow area. And a young man was in the house and he said to us, oh, don't worry, come, let me take over. He said, I am an expert with anything to do with the house. And so he eagerly rushed forward to fix it, and my heart was in my mouth because I saw him remove this and remove that and clatter, 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 and bang here and bang here. And the end of it all, he turned to us, my Keith and I, and he said with a huge smile, "It's all fixed." He says, "Just let me know when you need help again." Well, the end result was a plumber and a huge bill. Instead of fixing, the cost escalated. It was a huge mess. That young man was not equipped to do the job. Isn't that different to the heavenly potter who is equipped to do abundantly what we can ask or think or need? We can trust the heavenly potter with our lives. To cleanse, to mold, to transform. To make us over totally. Not a human patching job, as the case of that young, eager, and ill-equipped youth. Our potter is the creator. And he sustains all things. And he's the one who asks us to place ourselves in his hands. But you know, there's a problem. He will never force himself upon us. I remember when I was at boarding school, I saw a terrible thing. I was looking out of the window with a lot of other girls at boarding school, and there were people in the street, so there. But suddenly I saw a girl running, running, running along the street, and I saw a limousine car rush up next to her, and people jumped out of the car, and they pulled that girl into the car. Now, obviously, the police was called, but she didn't want to get into the car, but she was forced into the car. The potter doesn't do that to us. As much as we need to be taken up by him, it is your choice if he takes you up. He calls us, but we have to say yes. Many doubt his power to change them. Even if he's the creator of the whole world, they think that they are beyond reach, that he cannot do for them what they need. But he can do what you need. And he can do more than what you need. How can I doubt the potter's power when he, with a mere word, said, "Let the earth come forth and the skies unfurl, and the clouds on their way have sped"? How can I doubt the potter's power when I see a bird in flight and know that he who made her wings designed the size just right? How can I doubt the potter's power when I see a giraffe stride and get a leaf from the topmost branch with a thin neck, his great pride? How can I doubt the potter's power when I see his hand each day in all the things around me who point to him and say, "We are thy handiwork, O God. Man should thus recognize thy might and power and wisdom before their very eyes. Surely if this great potter should take you in his hand, he can change and form you into what he has planned." You know, it's so sad that he's so longing to take us up, and so many of us reject him and say no. But the problem is we're dirty to start with, as we said before. And the question comes up, has he the power to cleanse me? Has he got the inclination to cleanse and remake me? And the answer is yes, 1,000 times yes. He promises to cleanse us. God hates sin. He's a holy God. The dirt and mire of sin, which is part of every human lump of clay, he is longing to cleanse and to purify. Just like the rough clay that we get out of the mountain has to be purified, washed, cleaned, all the horrible bits taken out. So he wants to purify us, to wash us, to cleanse us. That's what a holy God requires from the clay. Why? God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter 1 verse 16. But we can't be holy because we're full of dirt. We're full of sin. Psalm 99 verse 2. "Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God longs to take away the dirt and the grime with his precious blood. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. What does that mean? It means you can't buy your salvation with money as silver and gold from your vain conversation by tradition from your fathers. What does that mean? It says you can't buy your salvation. You can't live to gain your salvation, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. If you have not asked the potter to cleanse you with his blood, to forgive your sins, you are in big trouble. Clay must be cleansed and purified before the forming process can begin. While the clay lies on the table, we said yesterday, there will be no change. It will remain a lump of clay. All the dirt, the mire, the hidden bits, the outside bits would remain in it and on it. Only when it lies in the potter's hands can a change take place. And for you, only when you place yourself in God's hands can the change in your life take place. The God who with a single word could make, sustain, uphold the world, the universe beyond, that this frail clay now hold, with confidence in his great power, I in his hands do lie. The very God who made the worlds, this clay doth sanctify. His precious blood will wash me clean. No whit of sin remains, as white as snow I now will be, no guilty smudge or stains. A vessel for his use alone, to use as he thinks best, as day by day I willingly within his hands now rest. Is that where you are? But young people, I want to warn you that there are other potters that are clamoring for your clay, and who will ruin you, and who will cause you to end up in hell. They whisper in your ear, trust yourself to me. I am able, they say, or we are able, they say, to form you into wonderful vessels of clay. I call them the add-on potters, the add-on. Let me add on to your life. They even offer to add on religion to your life. You can live the way you live. You can do the things you do. You can tell the lies you tell a lie. You can steal the things you do. You can watch the horrible things on your phones, on the internet, the films, the books. Carry on. But let me just add on a bit of religion, and I can mold you into a vessel. But they are not able to let you endure the fire of God's judgment on mire and sin. We will woe the day when we of our own free will allowed ourselves to accept those offers from those potters. It's the cheaper religion, but it is not, it's a religion that will land you in hell, I'm warning you. The heavenly potter gave his life. He shed his blood. He didn't stint the cost to purchase you. And as he gave his all, so we give our all to him, and we place ourselves totally, wholly, and completely in his hands. Only the heavenly potter can cleanse you and form you to be of use. Do not trust any other. Now, it reminds me of an anecdote that I read in Moody's Anecdotes. It was page 184. Moody tells us the true happening. Roland Hill was a preacher, and he was standing in a big park, and he was preaching to a lot of people. There were crowds that stood around him, and he was standing on a platform, and he was preaching the gospel to them. And while he was speaking, a carriage was passing that way. And in this carriage was Lady Erskine. And Lady Erskine looked around and she said, "Ooh, there's a lot of people there. There's a man standing on a platform. Who is this that can draw such crowds? And who is this that's standing up there and speaking to the people?" So the footman said to us, "That is Roland Hill, my lady." And she said, "Oh, Roland Hill, I've heard of him." So she said, "Take the carriage to the coachman, the driver," she said, "take it a little bit nearer so that I can just hear a bit of what's going on." And now as Roland Hill was speaking, he suddenly looked over the heads of the crowd and he saw this magnificent carriage coming nearer and just going on the skirt of, skirting the crowd. And he said to somebody, whose carriage is this? Because he saw the, you know, they have these badges, these emblems on the carriages that show which nobleman is in it. And people said to him, it's the carriage of Lady Erskine, the famous Lady Erskine. So Roland Hill said, stop, I'm stopping the sermon right here. He said, I'm turning this into an auction. I'm auctioning. I will be auctioning. And as she had rolled the window down, and he said, stop, friends, I have something to sell. Now, the people were amazed, and they wondered, how can this preacher turn the pulpit into an auctioneering stand? There was dead silence in the crowd, and with a loud voice, Roland Hill called out, I have more than a title to sell today. I have more than a crown of Europe to sell today. I hold before you the soul of Lady Erskine. He said, is there somebody who bids for a soul? Who bids? Who bids? And then he said, yes, I hear a bid. Who's bidding? Satan. Satan. Oh, Satan, I hear you. Well, what will you give for Lady Erskine's soul? He says, oh, I hear. What do you say, Satan? Pleasure, honor, riches, sin. The whole world I will pour into her lap. He said, Lady Erskine, do you hear what Satan's offering you? You hear? Is there another bidder? Is there somebody else that will bid for the soul of Lady Erskine? Wait, he said, I hear another bidder. There is somebody else. The Lord Jesus. He says, what do you give for the soul of Lady Erskine? He says, I hear? What is it? Ah, peace. Joy, comfort, which the world does not know of. I offer Lady Erskine eternal life. He turned to the carriage and he said, Lady Erskine, you've heard there are two bidders for your soul. Which will you accept? And you know what happened? Lady Erskine ordered the door of that carriage to be opened, and she descended the carriage steps, and weeping before all the people, the common people as it were, before all of them, she got on her knees, and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. She humbled herself, she put herself in the potter's hands, taken up the clay to be his, to cleanse and to form. Do you see the lump of clay on the table of life? It doesn't matter if it's a rich, beautiful lump of clay or if it's an old humdrum lump of clay. There are always two bidders. There are two bidders for every one of your souls. Have you decided whose hand you're willing to trust your life into? Satan or the Lord Jesus Christ? Satan is a deceiver. He's out to destroy you. You think that if you have, you allow yourself to remain in Satan's hands, you're going to have pleasure and fun in life. But he is leading you to hell. He's going to throw you in hell one day. He pretends he'll mold you and make you beautiful. He'll cover up the mire and dirt that no one can see, perhaps. Even persuade you that dirt is beautiful. But Satan is a liar. Satan was a murderer from the beginning and bowed not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Do not trust him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Can you allow yourself to rest in Satan's hands? Can you trust him? Do you know that if you are not lying in the potter's hands today, you are actually lying in Satan's hands? Those fearful, cunning, manipulative, soul-destroying, hell-bound hands. Or are you perhaps in the hands of the potter who gave his life to purchase you, that he may cleanse you and form you? How do we get cleansed? How does the dross get removed? You know, it's a bit painful because when you clean clay, rough clay, I'm not talking about that beautiful clay we worked with, you have to work it through and press it and work with it and work your fingers through it to get all the dirt out. And so when we want the Lord Jesus to cleanse us, we have to confess our sins. We've got to tell him that we have done wrong and what we have done wrong. So it's not easy. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even the forming is painful because we have to bend to God's will. Just like the finger of the potter presses the clay in to get the shape. So God has to deal with issues in our life. But we always remember, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. When the potter works with us, it is a loving potter that is dealing with us. If we are in his hands. But many reject him. They opt to remain in Satan's hands. How terrible to remember in hell the opportunities we had to yield to the potter and which we cast aside. We shunned him. We will remember in hell even the invitation that came from him at this camp. And which we rejected, and we will ever regret it. A lump of clay on offer, two bidders on this day, they each offered to buy it. What did the bidders say? Satan says, let me take you. I offer fame and fun, no limit to the pleasures, excitement that will stun. If you but will allow me to keep you in my hand, how wonderful to relish the things for you I've planned. The end of all, I've hidden, don't dare to look ahead. When your time is expended, your soul's fate when you're dead. But soberly consider that hell will be the fate. How dreadful will be the cry be to turn back now too late. But Christ, the other bidder, cries out, I paid the price. My blood was shed to cleanse you and rid you from all vice. If you will let me take you, you'd lie within my hand, a vessel in my service to use as I have planned. Two bidders, which do you choose? Your choice, what will it be? Think soberly. Consider you face eternity. But dear young people, there are other bidders for the clay, and you may not recognize in those other bidders for you that Satan is in league with them. I remember there was an auction at Durban. My mom loved to collect antiques, and she liked antique dolls. And in fact, I was given antique dolls till I don't want to tell you how old I was when I still got dolls. But anyway, there's a little antique stall in this workshop in Durban, and there was an old gentleman that had sold my mother things before, and he said to her, Mrs. LaRue, I just want to tell you there's a doll coming up on auction. Would you like me to bid for you? So she said, oh, well, that sounds wonderful. Please do bid. But now there was another young man who knew my mom, and he heard of the auction. And he thought, I'm going to bid for that doll for Mrs. LaRue, and then I'm going to sell it back to her. So what happened? At the auction, the doll came up, and there were two people that were very eager to get the doll. So the old man from the antique store bid a price, and the young man made a higher price. The old man did a price, and the young man topped it. And so the price of the doll went higher and higher and higher, and was sold at a much higher price than if there'd only been one bidder. The doll seemed more precious because of the two determined bidders. But the sad truth was that both of them were determined that my mother would have it, and both bidders were in league to make a raid on my mother's purse. So, dear young people, there are other bidders that want the clay in their own hands, but you don't realize they are in league with Satan. They're actually on his side, although they seem to be bidding against Satan. Good works, a good life, bettering yourself, cries out against Satan. Let me take you in hand. You've got to just better yourself. Try and not do those horrible things that you are doing. Stop lying. Stop swearing. Stop pilfering. Just stop. Try not to look at those terrible things on the internet. Try and just stream your music down to the songs without the worst of the worst words. Let's just have the smaller swear words. And so this morality, this better works, tries to persuade you that you can, under her care or under her working, become what God will get you into heaven one day, but it will get you into hell. She said, I can't take the dirt out, but I can just whitewash you and you'll be a beautiful cream color. You look so much better than those dark terracotta, sinful jars. And and anyway, those snow white people, those people that are so Christian that they stand out like sore thumbs, look awful anyway. So why don't you let me take you in hand? You'll be miles above the rough vessels who are not whitewashed. But you know what? She is in league with Satan. And she will take you almost like walking on your toes, but straight down to hell. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, the washing when God saves you and cleanses you, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Without shedding of blood is no remission. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Only the potter can cleanse you and make you fit to enter heaven one day. No whitewashing, though the vessel be so elaborate. Though you have this wonderful vocabulary. When you pray, you sound as if you are the head of a Bible college. That's not going to get you into heaven. That is just whitewashing on the outside. The Lord Jesus spoke of the Pharisees like this. He said, "For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess." It doesn't matter how beautiful, how beautifully and modestly you dress, how beautifully you speak. If God hasn't dealt with the inside, nothing has changed and you will still be on your way to hell and the furnace. Perhaps you grew up in a Christian home. You think, "I'm good enough to get to heaven. I've been formed by reading the Bible, continuous churches, attendance, prayer meetings, Bible studies. Look, I'm at the camp. I'm beautiful. I'm a cream whitewashed pot of clay." But you are still a dirty vessel, willfully defiant, sadly ignorant of the danger you are in. Remember the terrible warning to the whitewashed vessels in Matthew 7:21-23. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in this day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You are posing as a Christian, but are you a Christian, as Roy spoke today? "Repent ye therefore and be converted, saved, transformed, made new, that your sins may be blotted out." That your sins may be blotted out. What does it mean for a lump of clay to repent, to be cleansed, to become one of the potter's vessels? I have to say, I am full of sin. I am full of mire. I am full of dirt. I am in Satan's hand. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I did not heed thy call before. Take me up. Cleanse me. Make me thine. I want to rest in thy hands. Take me, O heavenly potter. Dear Lord, I must acknowledge that I ignored thy cry. I listened to the others to let them have a try. I let Satan with pleasure and sin take me in hand, not realizing that hell was the fate secretly planned. When I in fright had read of the doom awaiting me, I quickly upped my morals, whitewashed now outwardly. I looked down on the sinners, the pots with glaring grime, and thought I was much better, superior, and just fine. But thy eye saw the whitewash, and knew sin was still there, the secret thoughts and doings peeped out soon everywhere, until in deep repentance I bowed, in anguish cried, "Forgive me, Lord, and cleanse me. Nothing from thee I'll hide." The whitewash paint was removed, the dirt and grime exposed. Thy precious blood then cleansed me, thy will no more opposed. The bidders clamor daily for the clay. Careful be, who takes you will determine your final destiny. And you know what? I'm going to end there.